Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we step inside the vibrant, paint-splattered, and high-energy worlds of the artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create. We'll also meet special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their field. From our creative corner to yours, we're inviting you into inspiring conversations with exceptional women. I'm Susan Harold, Editor-in-Chief of Women Create. Join me as we sit down with visionary makers and innovative entrepreneurs to explore the beautiful chaos of the creative life, the trials that test us, the triumphs that fuel us, and the surprising paths that lead to those undeniable creative sparks. Thank you for being a part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Denise Shives is a mixed media artist and creator of The Pocket Lady. She has an occasional pop-up shop in her expansive and inspirational studio, a pole barn behind her home in Walla Walla, Washington. She's also the cover artist for Women Create's debut coffee table book, The Art of This Studio, and a feature artist in our winter 2025 issue of Where Women Create. Hello, Denise. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for agreeing to be our kickoff podcast guest for 2026. It's definitely our pleasure. I wanted to kind of hop into a little bit of your background in terms of how you sort of got started in terms of your artistry and your interest in being an artist and your creativity.
For as long as I can remember, I mean, even when I was a little girl, I loved collage all the way back to when I was pretty small. My mom always had little like supplies and things around, and I loved mostly making people for some reason and cutting out fabrics and things. And I remember very specifically a time that I made a little man and woman together, and the guy had little feather mustache, and my mom put a frame on it. And I think that was a pretty big moment in my life, just feeling very like, oh, I made something that was good enough for a frame, which might sound kind of silly, but yeah, I've always created and loved decorating my room. I love fashion, trying on different outfits. And we moved out into the country when I think I was about 9 or 10 years old, moved out to a farm. And I love that life of being outdoors, digging in the dirt and playing in the creeks and pond. And it opened up kind of a bigger door to exploring and creativity. So in high school, I really started growing a love for fashion, and loved trying on all my clothes and different, you know, putting different pairings together to see what would look the best. That was just kind of a little fun thing for me to do. And I also had a lot of little collections of funny little trinkets and things. And my mom ended up at one point putting some shelves in my room. And I love that because I could arrange and rearrange these things that I loved. I also loved magazines and cutting them apart and making collages. I did a lot of that for, like, if I had a friend that had a birthday, I would put a collage together for her and had them all over my walls. And that's significant later on in life. But I don't, you know, it's like you don't know why you're making what you're making, you know, if you have kind of that urge or desire to make something. But I think eventually over your lifetime, it starts to make sense if you keep kind of staying true to what you're feeling inside that you want to make.
Yeah, that came obviously really natural to you, just the collage making and the arranging. And it is interesting that that's where you find yourself now, which we'll get into in a little bit. But that was always the foundation.
Yes. And for sure, the arrangement of things. And I even love to rearrange my bedroom all the time. And I remember my mom was gone one day all day, and I rearranged the living room. And she immediately put it back the way she wanted it. But that was, you know, it was really fun to me. I thought just playing around, and it led to when I was in college, I studied apparel design, and it wasn't a great design school or anything, but I met a dear friend, someone that right out of college, we ended up starting our own little business together that we called Kindred Spirits Company. And for me, I think it was partially the avoidance of feeling like I was hireable. I was terrified of that. But for some reason, it felt less scary to start our own little business. And looking back on it, I think most people would probably be pretty scared to do that. All we worried about was our $300 rent that we needed to pay each month. We were living in a tiny little bunkhouse on a friend's place out in Carnation, Washington. And we went all over the Seattle area hauling our things that we made. We made little greeting cards and dolls and bath products. And my friend Amy, she is one of those people that's just a huge inspiration. I just always loved the way she dressed and thought she was really interesting. And she is, she still is. But anyway, we did that. And then we both kind of parted. You know, I got married. She went back and finished school, and then she got married. Interestingly enough, we both end up back in Walla Walla, where I live. And she started her own business here. And I decided to go into doing my own business that I do call Pocket Lady. I don't know really what it was, but I just love the idea of having a store. My husband started his own business at the same time, and we had a little girl. I think at the time she was maybe about 3 or 2 or something when I started. And I just knew that we wouldn't both be able to do his business and me having a storefront. And so I had the idea of setting up in my parents' barn. And first of all, my mom and I curated everything. We put some little kits together and I made all the labels. And then I also ordered some stuff wholesale. I love Christmas, so I decided to do it right before the holidays. And I just decorated their barn and had a bunch of fun little gifty things for sale and loved having like my own little labels on little kits and products. And I opened it up the weekend before Thanksgiving. And it was like the first day of Nordstrom sale. There was cars just all the way down the road. It was really a huge success and really fun. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of shopping, not a lot of interesting things in Walla Walla. So I think that added to it. But I did that, I think, for 2 years, maybe 3 years. And then I decided it was so successful that I should have a storefront. And so I went into that venture and had a store on Main Street. And the back of the shop was a paint your own pottery studio, and the front was all the gifts and things that arrange and rearrange. And it was very fun, but it was also very time consuming. And part of my goal was always to have my own art on products. What I found out, really, I did have some greeting cards that I sold in the shop, and I was always doing illustrations and not really loving what I was creating. But my mom was like my biggest cheerleader, and she loved them. And I'm not saying they weren't cute or good or anything like that, but it just didn't feel in my heart or soul that it was what I really wanted to be creating. And I don't know how to explain that other than that. But the store took all my time. And my goal was to, you know, be able to come home and be with my daughter after school, really be a great mom and a great wife and a great store owner. It got really, really hard. And I also, the creativity just kind of got sucked out of me. You don't have room or time to create anything new when you're doing all of that. And I didn't know it.
Right.
But I went after it and it was a success. But I made the decision to close it. And thankfully, I did it at a good time because it was right before the economy tanked. So, in a way, you know, I just feel thankful for the experience and the timing of all of that.
Well, I can see how, you know, wanting to create that store and wanting to have your products available and have your art available, but then the detail that goes into being a store owner and an entrepreneur and all of that. A lot, I think that happens to a lot of artists where you get caught up in all that minutia and then there just isn't time to create. So that's
Yeah.
just another example of how, you know, sometimes dreams shift and pathways shift. I want to talk a little bit about the Pocket Lady. So that's such an interesting name, and I'd love to hear a little bit about what the background is there.
Yeah, okay. So right before I did the sale in my parents' barn, I was trying to come up with the name, what I was going to call it. And somehow, I think what's interesting about this is like the ending of this story, which we hopefully will get to, but it all kind of makes sense now. Somehow, like intuitively, I just always have kind of followed like my instincts and just kind of following an urge or an idea, and then I kind of chase after it. I knew somehow that it was going to be a creative business, and I also knew somehow it would be full of lots of different things, and I wanted it to, but I didn't really know what it looked like at the time. So I was looking for a name that would kind of be all that. So I went to Green Park Elementary when I was little, and they had the best carnival. And my mom, who's also very creative, she came up with this idea to have this big skirt full of pockets. So she sewed a bunch of pockets all over it. And she was the pocket lady at our carnival. And she filled the pockets with little trinkets and fun little things. And for one ticket, you could choose a, prize. And I loved that my mom was the pocket lady. I thought she was so cute. And she had this huge big brim green hat. And I was really proud of that. That was my mom. And so I took, during this time trying to think of a name, I took my daughter to the Green Park Carnival. And there she was, the pocket lady, still in the same skirt my mom made and still had the same hat. And this was a long time later. So it was kind of scrunched and very funny. And just kind of watching my daughter pick a prize out of the pocket, I thought, there it is. That's a kind of all encompassing dream business. And so I thought, I'm going to call it the Pocket Lady, and kind of had the slogan at the time, pockets full of colorful ideas. And yeah, that's how it was born.
I love that. I love that too because, knowing your art now, there are so many layers to what you do, and there are so many layers to the pocket lady. So it just all meshes together so perfectly. You kind of had your breakthrough when you realized it was time to close down the store so you could continue to create, which kind of brings me to another question that I think a lot of artists either struggle with or think about, which is trends, art trends and trying to follow those trends. And I want to know how you feel about working with trends in your work, in your pieces.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I thought a lot about that over my lifetime because I love fashion, and I love to know what is in style and what is trending. I do like to know, I like to be aware. I think it's really fun, but I also want to be original. I've tried to always stay true to what I love, and that can be hard to do because there's so many influences, especially now out there on, of course I love Pinterest and Instagram, and I try to follow things that, again, that, like, not necessarily friends, but people that inspire me. So that's kind of helpful. But I feel like if you jump into following the trends, it can just take you away from maybe dressing how you really feel good, or maybe decorating your home in a way that you don't feel at home. And then in art making, I think one of the things that I fell into is I thought my path was going to be with illustration. And I took a few online classes, particularly one from an art agent who would give us prompts, and it was, I mean, great class, but I noticed, that I didn't really love making art that I was prompted to make. It was hard. And there's so many incredible illustrators out there. And I wasn't liking what I was creating. It just felt very forced. So,
Yeah, no, I think it's almost like an authenticity issue, right? Where
yeah.
you kind of keep coming back to that. What's authentic? Like you can look at the trends, you can appreciate the trends, but it seems like, what you're saying is you do so well, you do so much better when it's authentic and original for you.
Yeah, because I have a lot of ideas, and that's one thing it's actually can be kind of painful. My dad apologizes all the time because he's the same, can wake you up at night, which it often does. But I'm very full of ideas, and just realized over the years that by following those ideas or urges, I've been able to find a way into making art that I really love making now, and making some of those ideas come to life. They may not be completely original because there's so many people in the world. There's probably possible there's someone out there just like me creating very similar things, but I at least feel like I love creating, and I feel proud of what I'm creating.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about is something a lot of artists struggle with. So, as you walk us through sort of your beginning working with art till now and how you've sort of had these different pathways and learning what really inspires you, one thing that I know a lot of artists struggle with, at least a lot of artists that I speak with, is overcoming imposter syndrome and actually calling yourself an artist. And I just wonder if you've experienced that, and if so, have you overcome it, or do you have an example of a way that you've been able to overcome that?
Yeah, I think I have. Probably most people can get imposter syndrome, and I don't know that it ever really goes away. I think that I have been able to, I guess, kind of overcome it in the way of knowing what will actually get it out of my head. And so I have the opportunity to be on the board of directors for our local YWCA. And one of the things that was really empowering was the board was all women, and they were very encouraging and encouraged me to eventually take on the role of being board president. And what came with that was, typically, the board president would speak at our big fundraiser. It was a luncheon that usually about 500 people attend. And I said, okay, I would do this, but I am not going to speak at that luncheon. Somebody else is going to have to do it. And they're like, that's okay, that's okay. But one of the women just kind of kept suggesting to me, she's like, I think you should at least consider it. And I'm like, nope, I don't have, nope, not going to do that. And I ended up deciding, I'm going to do it. And I took a high school class, a speech class. So I kind of knew what I needed to do. So I did it. I managed to write a pretty good speech, and I practiced and practiced, and I pulled it off. And the theme of the luncheon, I believe it was courage. I can't remember exactly the word. It was something like that. But basically, when I was researching things to put in the speech and trying to find quotes and whatnot, I really was kind of discovering that, like, it just takes courage to get rid of fear. So that's kind of what the speech was on. And then I happened to nail it. And when it was over, it's kind of funny, but I just felt like, man, I did it. I nailed it. And I just like wanted to go on. I'm going to be a public speaker now, which is hilarious. And I'm kind of kidding, but that was the feeling I had. And I just realized, like, I was so afraid, but I did it. And it literally killed the fear. And I think what imposter syndrome really is just being afraid. It's just fear. Like, oh, I'm not going to be good enough, or I can't do it. And so people often won't. There has to be so many incredibly talented people out there with art, writing, whatever, that just never show anyone. They never try it because of this of fear. And I think that's all that is just that voice in your head saying you're not good enough for some reason. And I also believe that if you can figure out like what that vo where that voice is coming from, that can help too. So if we can go back just a little bit with the illustration thing, and they really weren't what I wanted to be making, but I didn't also didn't call myself an artist at the time. And through a whole nother process, I realized that for so many years I had been really making art for my mom because she loved them so much, and of course, I'm a pleaser, and I always, it's felt good to make my mom happy, or if she liked it, then maybe I knew other people would like them. And so I'll put them on the shelf for sale or whatever. And when I had that realization, it was like game changer. And it's not her fault that I was trying to do this for her, right? Like, I'm a grown woman and I can make what I want to make. I can draw how I want to draw. If she doesn't like it, it's okay. And turns out she still likes what I make now. But, it's just a weird, that was sort of one of my big, I guess, aha moments with art making. That doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. And you might not know what you're doing, but if you have this in you, if you're the kind of person that has been given this thing that you don't know what it is, but you're supposed to be making something, or you have these ideas and you need to pursue them, like, often it doesn't make sense to anyone but you. Anyway, that just helped cure the voice in my head that's saying, like, you can't be as good as you think you can.
It's interesting too, because the story you told at the beginning of our conversation was that your mom was really the first one to fully recognize your art as art, frame it. So I can understand why, pleasing her probably was an important part of your journey. Which kind of actually brings me to a little segue here, because your daughter, Jessie, was actually the photographer for not only your feature in the winter issue of Where Women Create, but she also took the photo that we ended up using for the cover of our book, The Art of the Studio.
Yeah.
So, you know, what type of advice would you offer to your daughter or to a young artist or someone who does often feel a little trapped in that imposter syndrome, or even more so, sort of trapped in that path of being a pleaser, or you know, not necessarily creating the art they want? I mean, what type of advice would you give to your daughter in that regard?
Yeah, that's a good question. And thank you for giving her the shout out. I'm really proud of the pictures she took. She's got a really beautiful eye for light, and her editing, I think, is amazing. But so thank you for mentioning her. I don't know that I necessarily have advice for young people other than just if you feel, the pressure of like, how are you going to make money? Oh, artists, they can't make money. That, they can, first of all. Like, art is everywhere. And I tell my practical people in my life, I'm like, if I ever hear them saying things like that now, I'm like, art is everywhere. Like, you have no idea how beautiful your life is because of artists and creative people. The books you read, the movies you watch, the clothes you wear, your decorations in your home. I mean, they don't come from somebody that's not just incredibly talented. So most people have to probably start, with a paid job and working for someone else. And I guess my advice on that then would be to but always find time to create. And that's also something I hear from people a lot, like, you're so lucky to, be able to just do this full time. Well, I know I'm super fortunate, but I've also worked very, very hard to be able to find this space and time now. And without going into all those details, like, you still have to do it. And I think maybe not all the time, but find any little area that I could create in. And you might sacrifice hanging out with a friend or going to dinner or, staying up a little later after your kids are in bed, which that's what I always did. And then the other thing I was going to touch on with your question about advice is more to parents of children that are creative or always trying to make little worlds around them or drawing or whatever, is just to foster that and encourage that. And I don't think you have to talk about like how you're going to make money with it ever to them, because it kind of kills it inside you, right? Like, just listening and encouraging people with imagination.
I love it. So after you closed the shop and you know you were really focusing in on your illustrations and your artwork, I know that the studio you have now is quite different from the studio you had back in 2018. So just to bring our listeners up to speed, we featured your studio back in 2018 and it was still pole barn, but it looked very different from how your studio looks now. And I had reached out to you to see if you would mind if I shared some images from your older studio in the book, the coffee table book. And you very humbly said, you know, sure, graciously, yes, absolutely. But by the way, I have, you know, kind of a new space now. Would you like to see some of those images? And I thought, oh, sure. You know, maybe she rearranged a shelf or, you know, maybe there's some new artwork on the walls. And then you shared your images with me, and I instantly just, for lack of a better word, just felt something. It just felt like I wanted to be in that area. I wanted to explore that area, and I was really taken by it and very sure at that point that we had something very special, not only for the book, but even for the cover of the book. So I would love for you to sort of walk our listeners through that space. And I know they can't see it right now, but I would love to hear your description of all the different areas and how that all came to be.
First of all, thank you again so much for just noticing and wanting to see more of the photos. And I feel very seen. And as an artist, I think sometimes that's all we want is just for, well, like I said, with my mom, she loved everything I made. And so when someone else sees something in what you've created, it's very fulfilling. But yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because it's kind of a big transformation. When you had the photos in the magazine in 2018, that was a time where I really had kind of broken free from like, okay, I'm just going to figure this out. Like, what am I meant to create? I finally kind of had the time after closing the store. A few years later, we moved to where right now I'm in my studio, and it's right next door to my parents' place where I grew up. But we decided to put a shop behind the house, and the main purpose was to store lawnmower, that kind of thing. And I'm just kind of suggesting to my husband that I really am missing my Pocket Lady business. You know, I kind of want to do something, and can we add on a little bigger space so I can do it in there? And I convinced him, I think mainly because I've constantly had like my artwork all over the dining room table or kitchen island. You know, I think he realized like she needs a space. He agreed, and I quietly urged for a little bit bigger space than we'd planned on, and feel very lucky to have the space. But what I started with was kind of going back to, you know, part of it was to create in, to be my studio. And that was really like the biggest thing. But again, I go back to wanting to arrange things and do these elaborate displays and offer some pop-ups for people to come and shop. So I really did more of that, but added a lot of vintage items as well. And then slowly, I decided to just stop doing the pop-ups and just work on art and just try to figure it out. So I was just wildly making these big paintings with lots of crazy colors, and my illustrations were very bright and colorful. I started using the iPad to draw, and I loved that. I loved how it felt. But one of the challenges that I kept coming up with, because I've always liked to draw little characters and mostly women, I think, because I like to decide what their hair is going to look like or their little outfit's going to be. But I could never figure out the background for them. And, you know, what's that going to be? And my mind is on like, okay, I'm going to submit these to card companies and see if I can get picked up with a card line. And, but I just kept running into like, I'm not loving what I'm making. And the first magazine article that I had someone point out to me, like, gosh, your studio space is filled with all these old, like vintage things, and like the art just doesn't go with it. And I knew that, and it bothered me. It's like, I want my whole life to just go together. I think that may be sort of a familiar thing to other artists to kind of have like this one big style. So I did a deep dive into like trying to figure out what really inspires me and what colors, and that's a whole nother conversation. But I put together like a inspiration board for myself. If I were to go shopping or buying anything for the store or creating any art, that I would look at this, you know, inspiration board, that all the things that I really, really love. And it helped me to kind of focus on going towards those colors and those materials and those items. And it took maybe about a year or so, but it just kind of like eventually evolved into starting to work with completely different materials. And I also kept thinking, like, as you go on in life and life just sort of happens, you're maybe doing things that you don't really want to be doing. So I kind of kept thinking about my childhood, which I love living on the farm. We raise cattle. I love animals. And so I went back to that, and we put in a garden and got some chickens. And we've had sheep, things that I can kind of handle. And the garden helped a lot, just kind of, you know, getting myself back outside more. And all of that kind of took me back to my days of making collages and did these paintings on these big wood panels. And I thought, you know, I can go over them. They're just acrylic paint, and they're crazy for me. Like, they're colors that I don't love, you know? So I thought, I'm just going to go over all of these. And just started doing collage on these boards. Through that process, kind of realizing, like, okay, if I don't like that paper I just glued on there, I can rip it off, or I can sand it, or I can add more. Kind of by just deciding to use colors that I love and materials that I love. I have quite a collection of old books, and some of them are like in disrepair. So I'll rip those up and use those parts in my artwork now. I just realized that, like, the element of surprise I love. Somehow, through all of that process, I'm now making art that I love.
So you had these illustrations, Denise, that you were happy with, but they never felt complete to you. You know, they didn't have a
Yes.
background, but you were happy with them to some degree, but they never felt finished. And then you started working on these wooden palettes and sort of creating, in a sense, the collages that you were creating as a child. So how did those two things come together?
Yeah, so I had the idea once I had, like a collage done that I was really loving, started taking pictures of sections of them, thinking, oh, I can, maybe use some of that on my website. Or because I love drawing, especially once I found I like to draw on the iPad, I would upload those photos into Procreate, and then those became the background for the illustrations that I was and am currently working on.
What is the next step for the Pocket Lady? So, where do you see those illustrations and what that artwork? How do you see that all coming together?
We'll keep doing the pop-ups. And now that I'm finally in a place where I'm making things that I truly genuinely love, and I feel like they fit in the studio space, which I'll touch on in a minute, but I just want to start making and making and making and focus on that way more. When the art started changing, I started also collecting and focusing more on the space, just trying to hone in on like a Pocket Lady style, and decided to collage the walls in the studio space. That was kind of huge. And I don't know if anyone can relate to this or not, but for some reason, there was no pressure to work on the walls. But if I stare at a blank canvas or I'm working on a painting, like it can sit there for months and months, and I'm like, I really like it, but I know it's not finished. But the walls, I didn't care. And my daughter thought that was funny. She's like, but it's a wall, Mom. I'm like, I know, but I felt so free to just make what I wanted. The playing and experimenting and not feeling so tight.
The walls were just for you.
Yes. And the art panels, like my dream, my huge dream is to have a, a show someday in a gallery. And so they're precious to me, right? Like I'm like, even though I know I should treat them like I did the walls, I'm working on that.
So let's go back to talking about your studio space a little bit, because I'm sure that that really inspires a lot of your artwork, and you're talking about the walls that you're putting together versus the actual piece of artwork that you're working on. So tell me a little bit more about all those rooms, because when you see them in the book and in the magazine, it's almost like it looks like a little village. It's like there's so many different rooms and spaces. So I'd love to hear more about those.
So I kind of go through life with constant stories in my head, and that's really kind of the way that I curate things in my studio. Probably most of my customers don't even know this, but most of the spaces throughout the space are inspired by a character. And so that also kind of helps me focus on like what to put in that area or how to, decorate it or what to collect. And so, for example, we go to McCall, Idaho often to go skiing or in the summer boating. And we found this beautiful little meadow that's in, the colors are just amazing in there. So there's one section that is inspired by that experience, like something that I think about a lot. I love that place and everything about it. And then I have a grain silo in here that came off of part of my parents' property. My dad thought I was crazy, but I'm like, no, I need that in my shop. And I had a guy cut a door out in it, and it was a dressing room for a while. And now I call it it's like the writer's room,
Yeah,
the
it's the
little
area with the
writing desk.
typewriter.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's so cute. Yeah.
so that's a whole person too. And I'm not sure I mean, it's kind of masculine and feminine. I go back and forth if it's a guy or a girl, doesn't matter. But and then I have like this little kitchen area, and I not to go on and on, but that's kind of how I create these spaces. And then right now, what I'm trying to do is create a piece of original artwork to go with each space. Not that I'm going to put them there, but the spaces have inspired so much.
Then with each of those pieces of artwork and sort of those characters, is there like a culmination of how those characters will come together, whether it is it a larger piece of artwork, or what is your vision for these characters?
I think there's a story behind each one. I'm not sure, to be honest, on these little vignettes. And I think they're inspiring more like original pieces of artwork and then maybe like a collection around each one of those. But because I go through life in these little stories, I do have a story I've been working on about the Pocket Lady since when it first started. And I've had the vision of it being like a doll, maybe covered in pockets and little quotes or little inspirations, and then a book to go with. And in my mind, they were always going to be like illustrated, and then I get stuck. Although I really love to do these drawings of these ladies, it feels impossible to like make the same one over and over again and like have her in a different position. Like I'm just not an illustrator like for books or, you know. Over the years, I think like all of my walks and all of these characters, some of them go into the Pocket Lady story now. I need to tell this story and it's finally kind of coming together. And it's very layered, which goes well with the layers of the art I'm making now. I'm just starting to tell the story through making little like 3D characters and just put them in these little, they have their own little vignettes I've been working on. So I have like these little mini size walls and things that I'm playing around with. And all the characters come from just my own life experiences. And one of the characters is a crow and he collects treasures and things and brings them to the pocket lady and puts them in her different little pockets because he knows that she'll know what to do with them someday.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, sort of the path you've taken as an artist has changed, which happens with a lot of artists, right? You sort of start down one pathway, which may lead you to a different pathway. But the Pocket Lady has always been kind of a common denominator in your work, right? And even she has changed over the years. But it's interesting because, you know, your mom was the Pocket Lady, and in many ways, I think kind of now you're the Pocket Lady because you have all these different things that you have a story you want to tell, and you have all these different ways of doing it. And it's such an interesting concept that that's where things started years and years ago. So that's always been the common denominator. It really hasn't gravitated far away from that, but it's just been different offsets and different pathways of getting there.
Yeah, and I think it's just like this thing inside me of like I'm supposed to be making a story or something. I don't know what it is, but I've been always trying to figure it out. The retail thing, you know, the selling of stuff and the arranging of things, it's just like, you know, whether it's papers on a panel doing the collage or arranging, you know, furniture or items on the shelf or whatever, it just all goes together. I think what was a huge missing piece, it was a honing in on like forget about like what is trending, forget about what other people think, forget about what's gonna sell. Someone out there is gonna like it. And I just decided to trust, you know, that instinct of like what I love. And I think it has evolved into a place where the Pocket Lady has a very honed in style. For some reason, I want it all to be a brand. But again, I'm still figuring it out. At the time that I was creating this business, I didn't really know what it was going to be. And it hasn't worked all the time. And sometimes it has. And when you find something that you truly love, it doesn't happen all the time, right?
Right.
You stumble across it. You can have a lot of stuff, the things you really love, you don't know why. It's just like, I just like this.
It's all part of the story. It's all part of the
Yes.
collection.
Yes.
Yes. And it'll make sense someday, just like the crow said that he's dropping off the things inside the pockets because she'll know what to do with them someday. It doesn't always come together in one big vision, right? Before we wrap up, you had mentioned, I believe it is was in your article, that you were thinking about sort of utilizing your studio space, moving into sort of like workshops or classes, because I think what I told you, how I just felt something very special when I saw your images, like I wanted to be in that space. I wanted to go visit it. I wanted to look around. I wanted to touch everything in there, that I can't be the only one who feels that way when they come into your space.
Yeah, thank you so much. That means a lot. My customers, when they come in, that's often what I hear. I just want to be in here and I could live in here. And I think some young girls were in here this holiday season, and one of them said, "Can we just pay you to sit in your little lounge area?" And I want people to be in this space. Almost nothing feels better than knowing someone left here feeling inspired to make their own space more beautiful. Like, you know, even if they don't purchase something, you know, they can go home and maybe look through their own things. And I've been feeling for a few years now, and I've made the mistake of telling customers, "Oh, we're going to do classes," and then we haven't gotten around to it. But part of it is I don't know that I want to teach. I don't know. I I don't know. I'm always kind of like figuring things out on my own, but I have a lot of supplies and realistically, I won't get around to all of them. So we are going to start doing some call it a class or workshop gathering, whatever, where I'll have everything that people need to do their own collage work. And we'll do just a collage evening or day. And you can pick through, what we put out or bring your own. People can shop while they're in here if they want to or not, and just chat. It's just something fun about getting people together. And it happens often in here for some reason, though, where there'll be people coming together and they just end up having a really great conversation and staying quite a while. And I love it.
If you were to put out all of the same materials and someone was to work at their kitchen table, I just don't know that they would put together the same type of art as they would sort of being in your space, doing that in your space, being surrounded by other creatives and just the inspiration. And I think that says a lot about your studio. It says a lot about you because you have created that area, that space. And I think that's the key. I think that's really what it is people feel comfortable and they feel inspired. Sign me up. I want to take that class.
That means a lot. The whole time I've been following this dream, there's some reason I'm feeling like I want people to be in a part of it, to be in it. Like it's not me, it's something else. And I felt very seen since you picked us for the cover and gave us a beautiful article in the magazine. So thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to everything that's on the horizon, to seeing more of the Pocket Lady. If you're interested in following Denise on Instagram, she's at the Pocket Lady. Is that right?
Yes.
And then what is your website?
So our website is also the Pocket Lady, pocketlady.com. And that's another big goal this year is to figure out a way to make it a little bit more interactive and inspirational. And I get so many emails. I do not like to sign up for emails unless I'm really interested. But that is really the best way is to sign up for our newsletter because that is the place where I feel like if people want inspiration, one of the goals is to really include that in the newsletter.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your perfectly imperfect story. I think you've really inspired other artists to realize that the path doesn't have to be linear. It can go many different directions, that there are a lot of layers, that there are a lot of pockets going on here with a lot of different ideas. And I think that's part of your success. It's just that you haven't really limited yourself. You've been able to embrace these layers. And it's just been such a pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the World of Women Create podcast. As we close the studio door on today's episode, we hope you're walking away with a little more color and a lot more inspiration. The World of Women Create is ever evolving, and we are so grateful you're on this path with us. To stay connected between episodes, visit us at womencreate.com. Until next time.